glad to have my brother-in-law and his wife down. They came in on Thursday, and they're either going to leave today or tomorrow. I'm not sure when they're going to leave yet, but pray for them as they'll be traveling back. It's a long way from here to where they live. A lot of traffic on the road. So we'll be in prayer for them as they travel. Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we're thankful again for this day and thankful for the gift of life and the health to be able to get up and be here. I thank you for those that are here, and Lord, I know there's others that would love to be here, but they're not able, and we pray for them today. Pray for safety for those that are on the road. We pray for the Cooper family, Lord, that you'd bless those services and that you'd give comfort to the hearts of those in that family. We especially want to pray for Brother Ricky. Pray for him not just today, but especially in the days to come. Lord, I ask that you comfort his heart. Give him your grace, your peace to strengthen him now that he's without his wife. Lord, just be with him. Be with the whole family. Please bless the message now. I pray that you would give me the words to say. Help all of us to have ears to hear and hearts to receive it. And Lord, if there's any decision we need to make, I pray you'd help us to make it before we leave. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, if you were here, hopefully you'll remember that I preached a message titled Returning from Moab. Returning from Moab. And I used the story of Naomi returning from Moab, which is a picture of the world, to Bethlehem, Judah, which is a picture of a church, to show some things that can help those who are out of church get back in church. And as I mentioned last Sunday, that's something that happens. It's unfortunate, but it happens. Sometimes saved people get out of church and they go back to the world. And I think we got a little bit of a glimpse from Naomi's story of some things that help people, or at least can help people who have made the decision to get out, to get back in. We talked about how she was found down in the land of Moab. Somebody got her word in Moab and told her that the Lord had visited his people back in Bethlehem, Judah. And that really is the main thing that got her to thinking about going back, just the fact that somebody found her and told her that things were looking up back in Bethlehem. But also we looked at how she was told there was food back in Bethlehem, Judah. They told her that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. If you remember, the main reason why they left Bethlehem, Judah, was because there was a famine. She then later, 10 years later, hears that the Lord has visited his people, provided food, and that was a draw for her to leave Moab and go back to Bethlehem. So there was food, and I'm not talking about physical food for us. I'm talking about spiritual food. It was physical food for her, but I'm talking about spiritual food. One thing that I believe can draw people back from Moab is understanding their spiritual nourishment waiting for them in the house of God. So she was found, and then there was food. She was also met with friendliness. That's another thing that I talked about in the message. Whenever she got back, the Bible says the whole city turned out to welcome Naomi back home. She was met with friendliness. I believe a characteristic of every church ought to be friendliness. When people come into the Lord's house, they ought to be welcomed. They ought to be greeted with friendly smiles, handshakes, neck hugs, whatever. I just believe people need to be met with friendliness, and I think a lot of times that'll help people make that final decision to come on back to where they know in their heart they need to be. But then also I talked last of all about how she was met with forgiveness. The people of that city never did hold any of those things that happened in her life against her. From that point forward, she was forgiven. They didn't bring it back up. They just welcomed her back into the city. And I believe that's something else people need to find when they come to church. A lot of times people are hesitant, as I said, to come back because they're ashamed. They realize they've made some bad choices, that they've got out of God's will, and that their lives are not where they need to be. And they oftentimes are hesitant to come back because they feel like they're going to be met with condemnation and judgment from people inside the church. And I do believe that happens sometimes. I know that there are times when Christian people get self-righteous and they look down their nose at other people that they don't feel like are as spiritual as they are, and they're not as friendly and forgiving with those people as they need to be. But I don't ever want it to be that way in New Hope Baptist Church. When people have gotten out, if they get out and they make a mess, or maybe they never got in, they're thinking about getting in for the first time, we don't need to say anything to them about the things that they've done in their past, in their life. That's between them and the Lord, amen? That's not my business, and it's not yours. That's between them and the Lord. And we don't ever need to bring that stuff up with them. Let them know there's forgiveness in the house of God, just like every one of us experienced forgiveness. Amen? Every one of us. But those are some things we've talked about last Sunday in the message. Today, I want to actually preach a second part to this message. This would be returning from Moab part 2. This is the sequel to last Sunday's message. And what I'm going to do today, Lord willing, is use the remainder of Naomi's story that's recorded in the book of Ruth to show some of what happens when people who are out decide to get back in. I think as you read on through this book and pay attention to all that happens and all that unfolds, you get a good picture, a good idea of what happens when people make that decision to get back in church where they need to be. And that's what I want to deal with in the message today. First of all, I want to say this. I noticed from Naomi's story that there are times when people who are out, get back in, bring people with them. They bring people with them. Look once again right here at Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 22. The verse we read a minute ago, the Bible says, so Naomi returned, and notice it says, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. Now, when she went to Moab, she didn't know Ruth, did she? She didn't know her. She'd never met her. But she met her while she was down there because she married one of her sons. She became her daughter-in-law. And whenever Naomi made up her mind that she was going to leave Moab, leave the world, and get back to Bethlehem, get back to church where she knew she needed to be, Ruth decided to come with her. And what I've seen through the years is that oftentimes when somebody who's out makes up their mind to get back in, there are other people that are encouraged by that decision and they decide to get back in church. Or maybe they decide for the first time they're going to go to church. Look back in the verses earlier on in this chapter and notice what happens here. Look at verse number 7. The Bible says in Ruth 1:7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. One was Ruth, one was Orpah. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And as you read on, you find that she tries to talk them into staying because she doesn't feel like it's going to be good for them to come. But look down at verse number 14. It says, and they lifted up their voice and went again, wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So in spite of being told to stay, Ruth says, I'm going with you. Now one of them, Orpah, made up her mind, hey, I'm just going to stay right here in Moab. That's where I want to be really anyhow. I don't see any benefit to going where you're going, so I'm just going to stay right where I'm at. That was her attitude. And this much I know, and I hate it this way, and I know you do too, but there are some people in this world, I don't care what you say and I don't care what you do, they're not going to go to church. It's just that simple. You can beg them, you can plead with them, you can try to encourage them, you can tell them how much better things would be if they'll get in, but they're not going to listen. They're right where they want to be in Moab. They're settled down in the world. They're happy with their life there, and they're not going to come. I don't care what you say or what you do. But we can't let those kind of people make us think that that's how everybody is. Because not everybody is that way. There are some people out there who will come to church. There are some people who will come back to church. And they need to be the focus of our attention. I understand some aren't going to come, but some will. Orpah stayed, but guess who came? Ruth made up her mind she was going to come, and she did. And if you read the next verses there, verse 15, 16, and 17, you find some of the greatest words of dedication and commitment you'll find anywhere in the entire Bible. Look at verse number 15. This is what Ruth says to Orpah. And she said, behold, or this is what Naomi says in the beginning. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Here's what Ruth says. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She said, the only thing that's going to separate me and you is death. That's the only thing. Now, that's a woman that had made up her mind what she was going to do. And Naomi picked it up. It says in verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She said, there's no need in talking to her. That lady has made up her mind. And I want you to understand that the reason why Ruth decided to go is because Naomi decided to go. Think about that. If Naomi had decided to stay in Moab for the rest of her life, and she could have made that decision, Ruth would have stayed right there in Moab for the rest of her life. The reason why Ruth wound up in Bethlehem, Judah, is because Naomi, who had got out, decided, I'm going to get back in. And when she made that decision, it encouraged Ruth to go with her, and she got in. And here's the thing, the great thing about this. What you have in Ruth, as you read on, is a picture of somebody who is lost getting saved. Sometimes the people that are encouraged to come are not saved people. Sometimes it's people that are lost. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and when they do decide to come and get in, they hear the gospel and they wind up getting saved. Think about Ruth, for example. She decides to go. She gets back to Bethlehem, Judah, and when she gets back to Bethlehem, Judah, who does she meet eventually? She meets a fellow by the name of Boaz. Remember what I told you last week about Boaz? Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the kinsman redeemer. He is the one that did what needed to be done to redeem Ruth for himself. He's a picture of Christ. So Ruth is a picture of a lost person that gets in church and gets saved after she gets in church. Now here's what I know. I know you can get saved anywhere, amen? You can get saved in the parking lot of a Walmart. You can get saved sitting in the cab of your pickup. You can get saved in your home, kneeling down on the floor. Amen, Brother Terry. That's where you can get saved. You can get saved anywhere. But you know where you can also get saved? You get saved in church. It's a blessing when people get saved in church, isn't it? And sometimes when people who are out decide to get back in, it's not just save people that are encouraged to come. There's some lost people that's already been thinking about it. Maybe the Lord's been dealing with their heart and they've been thinking about, hey, I need to go to church. I just know that's where I need to go. And they're just sort of waiting on a nudge from somebody or something for them to make that decision. Wouldn't it be a blessing if some saved person who decided to get back in was the nudge they needed to get in church? And then they came and got saved. That's what I see with Naomi and Ruth. Sometimes when a person gets out and they decide to get back in, they bring some with them. Other people come along, whether it be saved people or it be lost people. Here's the second thing that I notice from this story. When people who are out decide to get back in, not only do they sometimes bring people with them, but also I see that they're blessed by the Savior. They're blessed by the Savior. When people get out and decide to get back in, they are blessed by the Savior. Now, you've got to read on the story, and we're not going to take the time to read it all. But again, when Ruth gets there to Bethlehem, Judah, in chapter 2, you see that she goes out to work in the field. She goes out to glean. Remember the end of verse, or the end of chapter 1, the last part of that verse says they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So it's the time of the harvest. Well, she gets back. Remember, her and Naomi are now widows, and they don't have any children, so they kind of got to take care of themselves. She decides to go out to reap or to get some grain from the fields. And that was her right. Under the law, God had said that whenever those people reaped down their fields, they were to leave the corners of those fields unreaped so that the poor and the fatherless and the widows could come and get some grain to sustain themselves. So she had the right to do what she was doing by the law. And her half, as the Bible says here in verse number 3 of chapter 2, was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. It just so happened. That's one of those divine happenings there. That she wound up going to the field of one of Naomi's kinsmen, to the field of Boaz. And right away, Boaz recognizes Ruth and he takes a liking to her. He's interested in her. He begins to inquire about her, and he shows her grace, and he shows her favor. That day while she's working, he lets her eat at the table and get some food for herself. He does that for her. And she gets to take the leftovers home with her. Not only that, but he tells his young men, hey, while you're out in the field reaping, this is what I want you to do. I want you to let fall some handfuls on purpose. You know what he told them? While you're out there reaping, just on purpose, let some of that good grain fall on the ground so that Ruth can pick that up for herself. He's showing her favor, showing Ruth some grace here. And then, notice this. Look down in this chapter, Ruth chapter 2, verse number 18. Well, verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until the even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law, that's Naomi, saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth, Ruth brought forth, and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. That's the leftovers from when Ruth had eaten that day. She had some left over, and she brought that back to her mother-in-law along with all of the barley that she had picked up that day in the field. So not only is Ruth being blessed by Boaz, but guess who else is being blessed? Naomi's being blessed by him. Look over to the next chapter, chapter 3. Chapter 3 tells you about a time when Boaz and Ruth have this little secret meeting. It's just kind of a private thing there. And you see what happens here in this chapter, chapter 3, verse number 15. This is after they've had their discussion, and Ruth is fixing to go back home. Boaz says, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. Verse 17, and she said, Ruth said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty under thy mother-in-law. He's not just thinking about Ruth, is he? He's thinking about Naomi as well. Now, Boaz is a picture of Christ. We've talked about that. And he is blessing Naomi through Ruth. Y'all see that? Amen. Naomi is being blessed by Boaz. He's a picture of Christ. But when did she begin to be blessed by Boaz? Was it when she was in Moab or when she got back to Bethlehem, Judah? She didn't even know who Boaz was as long as she was in Moab. But when she got back home, she remembered this guy. Remembered that he was a relative, and she begins to be blessed, to see and experience his blessings in her life. But it wasn't while she was in Moab. It was after she got back in church where she was supposed to be. And what I'm trying to tell you is that when a person gets out, if they make up their mind that they're going to get back in, the Lord will bless their life in a way that he will never bless them as long as they're living in Moab. He will do things for them in their life that that he will not do as long as they live in Moab. But whenever they make up their mind, hey, I'm not going to stay out here in Moab anymore. That's not where I belong. I'm supposed to be in church. I'm supposed to be serving God. And they make that commitment, that decision. Once again, the Lord begins to demonstrate his favor in their life. And this is so hard. The devil's just really good at what he does. It's so hard to get people to understand this. Oftentimes people will leave church because they think in their mind that out in the world, out in Moab, is where it is at. And that their life will be better out there. They think, well, you know, I'll have Sunday. I can work on Sunday. I can make me some more money. And I can get together with my friends. And we can go to the lake. Or we can go deer hunting. We can do all those things that I don't get to do the other days of the week. Because after all, I got to work. Y'all know what I'm talking about? All these things that people say they convince themselves and the devil helps them convince themselves that their lives will be so much better if they'll get out in Moab and they don't go down to church and be faithful to church and that sort of thing. And what happens is they get out of church and instead of things getting better about 99% of the times, eventually the bottom falls out and things get worse. I cannot tell you the times through the years I've talked to people who told me that they decided to lay out of church to work. And it was a situation where they could have put it off. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about somebody who just had to. I mean, it's a situation where they said, hey, we need to go out there today. Well, they could have waited and did that on Monday, but they said, we got to go on Sunday. I cannot tell you the times I've talked to those people, and the next week I say, well, how'd everything go? Preacher, you wouldn't believe how bad it was. My tractor broke down, my truck tore up, my house caught on fire. I mean, all kinds of things. And they say to me, they've said to me personally, I'm in a deeper hole now than I would have been if I'd have just went on to church and waited till the next day. It happens time and again. I'm telling you, if you'll put God first in your life and you'll get in church and be in church where you're supposed to be, you'll see blessings like you'll never see out in Moab. I'm telling you, it's just, that's the way it is. You know why it's that way? Because it's the will of God that saved people go to church. It's God's will. God doesn't save a person to just go on and live ever how they want to. Some people have that in their mind. I just get saved where I don't have to go to hell, but they don't want to live for God the rest of their life. He doesn't save you just to keep you out of hell. He wants you to serve him with your life when you get saved. And if you'll decide to do that, and the people that have messed up and got out and make up their mind, hey, I did wrong, but I'm going back where I belong, they'll begin to see God's favor in their life again. I tell you what he'll do. He'll open up those windows of heaven, and he'll pour you out a blessing so big you can't even contain it. I think about how much better my life is, how much better my life is now than it was when I was in Moab. I spent some time out there. Some of you have, hadn't you? You spent some time in Moab. I got out of church. Spent years out in the world convincing myself while I was puking my guts out in the toilet that I was living it up and having fun. Brother, if that's fun, I don't want none of it. You hear what I'm saying? If selling Buicks in the toilet is fun, I don't want no more of that. Some of y'all know what that means. Some of you don't. But that's what people think. I can promise you, and I'm not just saying it, God knows my heart. My life is so much more blessed now than it has ever been. So much better than it ever was when I was out in Moab. When I decided to get back where I knew that I was supposed to be, I began to see the Lord pour his blessings out in my life in a way that it was not happening when I was out of church. I've seen it time and time again. Here's a third thing I want to say about this. When people who are out decide to get back in, not only will they bring some with them and be blessed by the Savior, this is one I really like. They'll have better relationships than what they have in Moab. Better relationships. Look here at Ruth chapter 4, at Naomi's story. Look at Ruth chapter 4. You get to Ruth chapter 4, and that's where you see that Boaz and Ruth get married. And after they get married, they have a baby. And that's really the way that's supposed to work, isn't it? Sometimes it doesn't, but that's kind of how that's supposed to work. People are supposed to get married before they have babies. Mighty quiet in here. I know it doesn't always happen that way, but that's the way it's supposed to happen. That's the way God intends for it to happen. People get married and then have a baby. Well, they get married and they have a baby. Now look here, Ruth chapter 4, verse number 14. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. Now look at this right here. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. You see that? See, you got a daughter-in-law. And this is what I thought about back at the end of chapter 1. Remember when Naomi shows back up and they say, Is this Naomi? And she says, Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Y'all remember that? Which means bitter. She says, Because I went out full, but the Lord brought me back empty. Remember when she said that? Came back with nothing. That's not exactly true, is it? Now, she did lose her husband while she was gone. She did lose her two children while she was gone. But she didn't come back completely empty. She came back with Ruth, didn't she? You know what hardship will do for you sometimes? And I'm not just talking about hardship you have nothing to do with. I mean some of the hardship we experience because we get out of God's will. You know what that stuff will do? It'll blind you to the blessings of God in your life. Things went real bad for her down in Moab. I mean, they went real bad. And it went so bad that she did not recognize what a wonderful blessing God gave her while she was there in Ruth. And that's what happens sometimes. You go through hardship and you get to focusing on how bad things are, and you forget about those blessings that are there. But she didn't come back empty. She came back with a daughter-in-law, which these women said. This is what they said about Ruth. Number one, they said, She loves you. Loveth thee. That's real love. She really loved Naomi. She loved her so much that she was willing to leave her family, her homeland, and everything she had known her entire life and go with a woman to a place that she probably had never been, to a people she had never met or knew very little about. She loved her just that much. And on top of that, they say, which is better to thee than seven sons. She didn't ever have seven sons. She had two, right? What those women said is, look, Ruth is such a wonderful blessing that if you had seven boys, she'd be better than all seven of them put together. That shows me that when people who are out decide to get back in, they get where they're supposed to be, that God will give them better relationships than they'll ever have in Moab. You'll get some friends that'll be real friends. You'll meet people or get back in fellowship with people that you'll have a better relationship with than your own flesh and blood. I don't think it should be that way, but because of the nature of things and how you have some people in families that get saved and live for the Lord and some that don't, the reality of life is that sometimes saved people are closer to their church family and God's family than they are their own flesh and blood. That's reality. And I'm not saying like that's a great thing. That's just the way it is. There are people right now who I have as dear friends, and I am closer to them and have more in common with them than I have people in my own family. I don't like it that way. That's just the way it is. But you'll get some real friends. You'll get friends that will love you unconditionally. There's a saying that says a real friend is somebody who has seen you at your worst, and they love you anyway. That's a real friend. You'll get some of those kind of friends when you get back in church. People that'll help you without seeking reward. They'll just help you because they love you. You know what I mean? Not just looking out for themselves and what can I gain from this, but hey, I love that person. I'm glad they're back in church. I'm glad they're my friend, and they'll help without any desire of reward whatsoever. They'll be so good to you. They'll be there for you. I have the best friends right now, real friends I have ever had in my entire life. And I can tell you again, because I've been on both sides, I never had friends like that when I was in Moab. Never had those kind of friends. You know what I had then? I had fair weather friends. That's what you had. You had fair weather friends. Long as you can buy them some beer, they're your friend. Long as you can give them a ride to the liquor store, they're your friend. Long as you can do something for them, they're your friend. That's not a real friend. When you get out of the world and you get back in church, you'll get some real friends. I tell you what might happen if you're a single person. You might even meet somebody that is a wonderful Christian that you'll wind up getting married to. You know what I've thought about a million times over? That if I'd have stayed in Moab, I'd have never met my wife. You just don't know the times that I've thought about where I would be now. If I was still alive, there's just no telling what kind of shape I'd be in right now. If I wound up getting married, I'd have probably wound up marrying some old floozy that had the morals of an alley cat like I did. I mean, let's just call it like it is, all right? Probably already divorced or living in mortal hell every day of my life. It's probably where I'd be if I wasn't dead. But I got back in church where God intended for me to be. And when I got back in church down the road, he let me meet the love of my life. I'm a blessed man to have the wife that I have. And I can say that after being married to her for 24 years. That's the truth. And I'm not just trying to get brownie points. Well, that's part of it, but that ain't all of it. I'd have never met my wife. I cannot imagine my life without her. Just the things that we've been through, I just can't imagine where I'd be today without her. And I'd have never met her if I'd have stayed in Moab. I'm just telling you, you get back in church, you put God first in your life, and he'll bless you in ways you could never imagine. And he'll bring friends and people into your life that'll be better to you than all the friends you could ever have out in Moab put together. That's what the Lord will do for you. And one last thing that I want to say. When people that are out decide to get back in, not only will they bring some with them, be blessed by their Savior, and have better relationships than they had in Moab, but I see also in this story that their bosom will be filled with worship. Filled with worship. Now, why do I say that? Well, look at verse 16, Ruth chapter 4, verse 16. We're fixed to be done. And Naomi took the child. This is Ruth's child that she's had with Boaz. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom. Just got an illustration of that back here in the back of the church right now. Laid in the bosom right here. And became nurse unto it, kind of like a nanny, just, you know, take care of it. Look at verse 17. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name. And that seems weird to us because that's not what we do. We name our own children, right? But you have to understand this was a different time, it was a different culture, a different people, and they did things different than we did. So the neighbors gave this child a name. They said, there is a son born to Naomi. Really was Ruth, but they said this was born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. Do you know what Obed means? It means worshiper or to worship God, either way. So whenever Naomi takes up that child and lays it in her bosom, you know what she's got right here in her bosom? She's got worship in her bosom. She didn't have that while she was in Moab, did she? She didn't get that worship in her bosom until she got back in church. What I'm telling you is once you make that decision to get back in, you'll begin to see, number one, the mercy of God in your life just in sparing you and letting you get back in church. You'll see that. It may not come overnight, but eventually if you'll stay in church and stay under preaching and stay under teaching and stay in the Bible, God will begin to open your eyes and clear things up, and you'll begin to see things as they really are instead of how maybe you thought they were. You'll begin to see the mercy of God in sparing your life and not allowing you to die while you were out of his will in Moab. We talked last Sunday about how that's not always the case, is it? Elimelech, her husband, died, and her two boys died. They never had a chance to get back in church. But Naomi did. You know what that was? That was the mercy of God on her life. Letting her get out of Moab and get back where she belonged. And after you get back in church, you'll begin to see that. You'll understand that God was merciful in sparing your life. And not only that, but you'll begin to see his blessings poured out in your life, like I mentioned. And you'll begin to see just how much better your life is. And you know what's going to happen? You're not going to have to force it. You're not going to have something work it up, some emotional thing. But as you just begin to see his mercy, experience his blessings, and realize how much better off you are, worship, I promise you, is going to well up in your bosom. And you're going to demonstrate gratitude and appreciation and reverence and praise to God for what he did in your life. That will happen when you get back in church. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, this opportunity to be here. And Lord, I know that most of the people here today are already in church and being faithful, but like I said last Sunday, there's a lot of people we know that were and they're not now. We pray that somehow we could be an encouragement to them to get back. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stay in and not ever let the devil get us out. Help us to be faithful, to not take for granted that we're in. Understand anything could happen, we could wind up out ourselves. Help us, Lord, not to get out. Help us to try to get people back in, to take these messages and use them as we go out and seek people and look for them. Tell them things, Lord, that might encourage them to make the decision to get back in church. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jimmy.
Page number 541.